Pull over, lean in. It's time for the Soft Shoulder Podcast. I am your host, Danette Relic of Radical Creative Sanctuary, inviting spaciousness for your mind and your heart. Welcome. I'm glad you're here. The Soft Shoulder is your time. Your time to slow down and fuel up on self-love support, so you can make the most of your gorgeous life. Join me here. Everyone needs a soft shoulder. You know, I have mixed feelings about my new book, Crash Bloom, because I'm really proud of it, and I really felt called to write it, and I don't know. In some ways, it kind of feels like being a tow truck driver or how I imagine that might be if you really care about people. Like, I'm not happy that you need my service, but I'm glad I could be here to help you get out of the ditch, you know? If that's you, I'm sorry that you're going through the kind of pain that a breakup can bring. And I'm really glad that I could possibly make this easier, make this more gentle. Like, you know, a lot of emergency services, spare you extra pain, unnecessary pain and suffering, right? It's like when we get the right help we need, it can make a tough situation feel a little different. Sometimes it can feel like kindness. And it can be like a strange kind of bittersweet gift. One of the new reviews on Crash Bloom says, "This makes me wish I could go back in time and give it to my past self. This is the book that everyone needs after a breakup. Kind, but no nonsense. Good tips and very relatable content. Danette is a skilled writer and a pure delight. I'm buying a copy for a friend as well." That review is from Kat, and thank you so much for taking the time to read it and taking the time to review it, and especially for giving it to a friend. I think this is one of those things where when we're in it, we just don't really know where to go, and when we're a friend of someone who's in it, it's hard to know what to say. And so what I've been hearing so far is that it's a really lovely gift to give to a friend who's going through a breakup, whether it was just recent or even within the last year or even more than that. What's been kind of interesting as I get feedback is hearing about the people who are not in a breakup at all benefiting from the content of Crash Bloom. So thank you so much for letting me know, for sharing it. Means the world. And I hope it continues. I hope if you've been listening and curious about it, you go check it out at crashbloom.com or ask for it wherever you buy books. And I hope that I can help you through this time. So, dear listener, last episode, I kind of touched on an idea about that this shift in thinking about self-marriage. And since I recorded that episode, I've been thinking about it more. I've been thinking about the difference when I talk about self-marriage in general and with you here at the Soft Shoulder, the difference between talking about it as something that you choose or not choose, that you could aspire to or not aspire to, or the idea that you are in fact already married to yourself. And this feels more true. And I wanted to be more deliberate with how I speak about this because it can be a real disservice to imply that you're not already in this committed relationship, whether you want it or not, whether you like it or not. You are already committed to yourself. And as I said in the last episode, that doesn't mean that it's a great marriage. That doesn't mean that you're honoring the commitments well. It doesn't mean that you're even aware of them, right? It might be one of a marriage that you might describe as like, yeah, I don't know, they're they're doing life together, I guess, right? But we don't see a connection. I think we've all witnessed a spectrum of how marriage can be really heartbreaking sometimes and also incredibly beautiful sometimes. And I know we all have a complicated relationship to marriage from our own personal experiences, from what we witnessed in our households, whether we were, you know, whether there was a marriage there or not. And then, of course, what we see in our friends, in our community, what we desire, what we're taught to desire, and how much agency we feel we have in this whole idea of what marriage is with other people. So how the reason why I say you're already in a marriage is because, you know, whether we like it or not, we are in this body. We are in this life for life, right? I'm in me. I'm Danette, whatever Danette is. I'm in this body over here. You are listening through ears attached to your body over there. And that's just the way it's going to be until it is no longer, right? And so that's what I mean is like, we're already here and there's kind of no getting out. It's like a weird kind of marriage where like divorce isn't really an option. And in the last episode, I used the metaphor of like, or analogy of like going on a really long journey with someone in a car. And that's just it, right? Like it's us and them. We're in the car, we're sharing it. There's no changing of plans. And so even though that might not be something we can change, what we do have agency over is how we want that to go, because we can change the energy very quickly by how we interact, by how we choose to show up in that car, by how we choose to talk to the other person. Do we want to make jokes? Do we want to open up to one another? Do we want to be kind? Do we want to create a space of safety so that whether you're the driver or the passenger, whether the other person can relax and maybe something really beautiful can happen? Maybe the two of you in this car become extraordinary friends. Maybe the two of you in this car go on an adventure that was unplanned. Maybe the two of you in this car love something so much and didn't know you had that in common, and then you dare to go off-roading and go and do something that's really exciting, that if you had opted out and just begrudgingly looked out the window or looked out at the road on this journey without bothering to get to know who was in the car with you, you would never have had this adventure. Would have been just waiting for it to end. If this drive is our lifetime, if the passenger is the car, in the car is in fact us with ourselves, that's what I mean by you're already married, right? So you may not get to choose some things about who you are in this lifetime, but you do get to choose what the quality of that experience could be. And I'm always like thinking about that, the serenity prayer and that dance around accepting the things we can't change and the wisdom to know, the courage to change the things we can, and the wisdom to know the difference. For me, this is always unfolding. I'm always discovering, well, you know, this thing I thought I couldn't change, I accepted, but every once in a while, I discover that that's actually not true, that maybe I have more agency than I thought, that maybe I could change a little bit more than I thought. And then there are other times where I thought I could change something, and then I had to come and have that courage to also accept that this is not going to change. And so what is the loving way to be in relationship with that? And I think these things kind of, for me anyway, they shift a lot. You know, the past few weeks I've had conversations with different people, clients, friends, even strangers. And the topic of, it happened to be about health, random things, mental health, physical health, things involved in our human form. That are challenges, that are a struggle, a challenge, a condition, something, right? And what was interesting to me was these conversations all kind of ended the same way, with someone saying, well, you know, this is just something that I have. You know, I've come to accept that this is something that I'm going to be living with. And so, you know, I can't change it, but I can manage it. like, it was kind of eerie. I love it when, don't you love it when that happens? When like you hear the same thing from different people in totally different contexts, unprovoked. But this phrase, I can't change it, but I can manage it. I've decided to look at it like, I've decided to stop trying to change it, and I've instead chosen to manage it. It's not easy to do, but I think this is such a loving thing, and it's such a bittersweet thing. And I am in my own dance with that in my, since the brain injury that I had 6 years ago, there's been a lot of like wanting to change it, wanting to cure it. And then maybe this is something I'm managing, and it is changing over time, but you know what? It's not the only thing my body will face or is facing, right? If we're lucky enough to have a long road, to have a long journey in this car and on this planet, there will be other things that happen to our body as we age, right? So anyway, I think about this a lot, and I think about that choice, that dance of choice. So self-marriage to me is like, we are all committed to being who we are in this lifetime. How do you want that to be? How can you make this actually a beautiful relationship? How can you manage this relationship in a way that's creative and playful? I mean, there's nothing stopping you from using your imagination here. So I wanted to follow up on this. I know I mentioned it and in the last episode, but I've been thinking about it, and I wanted to record this for you so that you could listen and imagine with me. Okay, so whether you're in a marriage or not, doesn't, with someone else, doesn't matter. But I want you to imagine right now a dream marriage. Something that you personally, not society necessarily, but that you personally feel would be, you would call them a power couple or a purpose couple, couple goals, a dream marriage, like the, wow, this is what it should look like. Ideally, this is the best a marriage can be. Whether you have like a, I don't know, fictional couple or a couple that you know in mind, picture what that would be like. How they walk into a room or a party together and you just feel like, oh God, I love those two. You know, like those two make it look worthwhile. Those two make me kind of want to like hang out and not give up on dating, even though dating can be very frustrating. But when you see them, they give you hope. That's the kind of couple I want you to envision right now. Do you picture them, even in just a vague sense? That feeling. I want you to imagine, what are the qualities that make them stand out? How are they making marriage desirable to you? Just notice what thoughts come up. What is it? Is it the energy, the presence, how they look at one another, how long they've been together, how they fight or don't fight, the playful way that they flirt with one another, how they support one another, how do they support one another? Because what will come up for you won't be the same thing for me or for someone else. Right? This isn't one ideal marriage. This is what's coming up for you specifically, dear listener, when you imagine the couple that gives us hope. So just allow yourself, if you're not driving, you can close your eyes a little bit. Let yourself dream a little bit. Imagine them entering a room and you have that, it just makes you happy to see them together. Maybe it makes you envious to see them together. What is it that you're envious of? Do they show affection in a certain way? Do they help each other grow? How do they do that? How much space do they give one another? How do they challenge one another? What are they bringing to the table? How does the relationship that they are creating together enhance each of their lives in different ways? You got it? Okay, that's enough. I mean, you could pause it and journal for like an hour if you'd like, but that's fine. That's enough, right? Just getting that sense. All right, so now I want you to imagine, just like if that was an Etch-a-Sketch, just shake it. Boop, boop. That's not the sound of an Etch-a-Sketch. Although it's the sound I make when I do everything. Apparently everything boops. So, okay. That let go of that one. And now I want you to think about, with great tenderness, yourself. If you're near a mirror, or, you know, you've got your phone with you and you can turn it on camera and have the lens face you. if you're feeling bold, look at yourself. If not, just be with yourself in whatever position you're in, whatever you're doing right now. If you can take one part of your body, like your hands, and just pat or touch another part of your body, it's like, I like that as like a reminder. I'm like, oh yeah, here I am. This is what helps me get out of my head and remember, oh, there's a whole there's a whole other body going on. There's a whole being here, not just the thoughts. So remember, oh, here you are. You're listening to a podcast right now. You were just thinking about dream couple, dream marriage. And here you are. So if your relationship with yourself was a marriage, how would you describe it? This might not be pleasant. You might be pleasantly surprised, but just be really kind to yourself and be really honest here for a second. And I want you to know, if you're like, oh my God, I didn't even think about that. I haven't even really been in here. Like, all my attention's going out. You are not alone in that at all. This might be a difficult question to ask yourself. So take a little bit of time. If your relationship with yourself was a marriage, how would you describe that marriage? Is it one that you would admire or desire? What are the areas in your relationship with yourself, this marriage with yourself, what are the areas that are stable, are strong? What parts are steady, functional? What parts might need some loving attention? What parts are you like, oh, I haven't opened that door in a long time. I haven't thought about that in a long time. I don't even know who I am in that aspect of my life. What are the areas? Can you name those areas? Is it your creativity? Is it having fun and relaxing? Is it tending to your body? Is it pursuing knowledge, wisdom, a goal, a dream? Is it just resting? Or perhaps like a spiritual life, specifically something that you really wish that you made time for, that you know is something that's important to you and it just doesn't seem to fit in your life. I want you to name those things for yourself. Okay? And again, pour the compassion sauce, as always, a big ladle, a pinata full of it over the table. Compassion, compassion, compassion. There's nothing wrong with you. Right? And this is such a loving thing to do, is just to gently check in, which is very difficult to do if it's been a long time. It feels kind of disorienting. If you think you're doing it wrong, you're not. Just the fact that you're kind of thinking about it and noticing that you're not sure if you're doing it right, that's checking in. That's where you are right now. So maybe the part that could use some loving attention is just simply paying attention. Okay. So now if you looked at this marriage if your relationship with yourself is a marriage, and you could describe that marriage like, well, they live together, they do pretty well. You know, things got a little bit rough in the last 5 years, but, you know, they're kind of pulling out of it. They're not really having any fun. And they feel a little bit distant from one another. Passion's kind of dipped. They're not really sure if they ever had it. If that's kind of how you would describe your marriage to yourself, I want you to imagine now, is this the Russian nesting dolls of imagination? Because now I want you to imagine that you're a couples counselor for this marriage. You see this marriage come into your office. What would you advise? How could this marriage take steps to get closer to the dream marriage that you were imagining earlier. That's what they want. They're like, ah, there's this other couple, and this is what we see that's possible in a marriage, and our marriage is like this. And if you were a counselor who was so passionate about helping marriages thrive, not survive, not slog along, but about the beauty that can happen in this container. And you also knew that these are two human beings, you know, who could use some gentleness as well. This isn't going to happen overnight. What would you advise them? I want you to be really kind to yourself, dear listeners. You take stock of where you are and where you wish to be. This is a really important thing to do in all the areas of our life where there's something that we want and that we can see. And then when we look at where we are, it feels very far away. It can very easily be discouraging, maybe even feel impossible. You know, but your dreams of like a destination or something like that, if you're dreaming of a garden in full bloom and you're just looking at a heap, maybe there's an old shed on that heap. It's not even a garden yet. It doesn't mean that it's impossible. It means it will take time. It means you have to clear away the debris, like take down the old shed. It means you have to do some tending with the soil. It means you have to plant seeds. You know, it means you have to wait. It means you have to allow time for the light to get in, right? There's a whole bunch of stuff that needs to get from like an old broken down shed on a yard to a beautiful garden. It's not impossible. The two images though can feel so far apart. It's like, you know, we want it faster. We want guarantees. But, you know, there aren't really any guarantees. And some of the best things take time. You know, in a coaching session recently, I was talking about this and about how important it is to linger creatively in the inspiration part of a project, the early stages of a project where we're just waking up, we're just getting inspired, we're just kind of sparking interest. I think Julia Cameron talks about like filling the well, like going out and looking at things that excite you and inspire you and just sort of generating that nice, juicy, creative energy. But where we can get trapped is like thinking, oh, but this isn't really work and this doesn't really count. I'm not really making anything. I'm just listening to music and I'm wearing pink socks and I'm going to the aquarium. How is this writing my memoir? You know, but it's so important because to me, this is like the marinade. This is like, you know, when you make a good pasta sauce, the best sauces I've had, I don't know about you, they take time. And it doesn't look like anything is happening. It's like there's sauce on the stove all day. Can you make it in 5 minutes? Sure. It doesn't taste anywhere near the same as it does if you're letting it absorb all the flavor, right? You're letting it simmer. You're letting it do its magic, the magic that only time can offer, right? So in this marriage to yourself, in this relationship with yourself, if there's that dream of what it could be and you feel like you're far away from it, you've got the time, right? Like the time is necessary. You don't want it tomorrow, actually, because then you're going to rush through it. You're going to miss so much of the beauty that happens here. Like the journey really is, I mean, it's not the destination, but it's like, I don't know what the destination is. You know, I got married to myself over 20 years ago. I couldn't have predicted exactly where I would be now. And I don't know where I'm going to be in another 20 years. But what I do know is the direction of tending, the faith of planting seeds, the allowing myself to feel where I am in this life, in this moment, to enjoy, like, Oh my God, when I would come home and my mom was cooking and it's like, and you walk in and you can smell it. I'm sure you've either been the cook or gone somewhere where you can walk into someone's door and just smell baking, cooking, whatever. And it's like, oh, you're not even eating it yet. You might never eat it. You might get that smell when you just walk into a bakery, right? But it's like all the things that had to happen for that beautiful moment where you could just savor the evidence that something beautiful and delicious is being created. That's where we can live when we choose to make our self-marriages a thing of beauty, a thing of pleasure, a thing of joy. It's not only wonderful for us, but other people can also enjoy it as well, right? When you imagine that couple walking in the door and they give people a feeling like, oh, we're at a dinner party or wherever, and people just feel better when they walk in. They're excited. They know they're going to be entertained or listened to or whatever it is, whatever that special gift is of that couple. They're going to be reminded about how we could be kind to our partners because it's so easy to get into that rut where everybody's just being snarky and it's like the cool thing to do is to like complain about your partner. That gets normalized so quickly. It's refreshing to see two people who are in love, who have been together for a short time or a long time, who can still treat each other with kindness, who can still surprise one another. And we get to bask in that, even though it's not our relationship. And when we go into that bakery, or if you went to my mom's house when she was cooking, like even if you don't eat the thing, you smell the thing. And you can, like, my mouth is watering right now. Just thinking about it. It's a beautiful feeling. These kinds of things ripple out. When you're enjoying your life, you have so much more to give. And I always feel kind of funny saying that because it's like when people talk about rest and they're like, well, we need to rest to be productive. And it's like, that's not the point though. We're so obsessed and we're conditioned to be obsessed with productivity and our worth being attached to producing something. And it's something that has grand, like public approval. It's not it. And it is also true that when we are more rested, when we allow ourselves time to relax, when we think about things and allow ourselves to be focused on quality and our like real heart's calling, we are more likely to do work that feels fulfilling and that really touches and connects with other people. And I know from lived experience and from being around other people who are committed to being in good marriages with themselves, whether they call it that or not, they're more fun to be around. It is easy for them to be truly generous. When I say truly generous, I mean they're giving what they have because they have an abundance of it. They're not giving out of some kind of transaction or out of people pleasing or wanting you to like them or approve of them. They're not going to give to you and then like be resentful later. I mean, true generosity is that your cup overfloweth and it's easy to say yes. It's easy to listen to other people. This is really worthwhile. And no matter where you are in your marriage right now with yourself, I want to tell you that you can save this marriage. You can save this marriage. You can make it amazing. In fact, some of the most beautiful marriages that I know are the ones who have been through some really deep challenges and have overcome those challenges either together or they had to kind of, overcome separately and then find each other again. And that renewed commitment of mature love with like true agency, true choice. Like, we didn't have to be here, but you know what? We're going to show up here. We're going to create something new. We've already been together 10 years. We're going to choose a whole new relationship starting today. The strength in that and the agility of that is really beautiful. And if right now your marriage is pretty terrible according to you. You can manage it, you know? Maybe tomorrow isn't the day where you're that power couple with yourself, right? Because it does take time. So what are those baby steps? If you were that counselor looking at this marriage again, what's the one thing you're like, you know what? That couple's leaving your office and you want to give them a little piece of homework. What would it be? Would it just be to like hold hands a few times this week? Would it be to, you know, just say one kind thing to each other every day? It can be baby steps, and it often is. My marriage to myself is just a whole big string of beads of baby steps, of little actions that make it easier to take the grand gestures. But the grand gestures in my marriage have been wonderful. But where it really matters, where it really changes my life, is in the practice, building that muscle of looking at myself through the lens of that dream marriage. Like, how can I fucking love and adore Danette more today? What does she need from me right now? What would I love from her right now? How can we do something today for future Danette? Even the little tiny things, right? Have you ever had that happen where someone just does a small thing for you, like picks up a coffee for you, or, you know, just a little thing that makes your life easier? It's not just a little thing. It was that they knew you. They knew the difference this would make. They were thinking of you. They made just a little room in your day for some ease and some flow. And maybe that softened your heart. And then when your heart softens, it can open. It can see things a little bit more differently. I find it to be just really helps me be kinder to myself, to other people, and to just life in general. So, dear listener, wherever you are, you can save this marriage. You can make this marriage beautiful, this one with yourself that you're kind of in, whether you like it or not. You might as well imagine a playful way forward. I mean, what have you got to lose? Thank you so much for being here. Thank you so much for facing this, for taking the time, for using your imagination. You are someone worth loving every day, and it all starts with you. Thank you so much, as always, to Allison Tarr at allisontarr.com for your website needs. Check her out. She is wonderful. She made the site at radicalcreativesanctuary.com, where you can go to see what I am offering and up to. And thank you to Lee Rosefair for the music that we are listening to now. Dear listener, until next time, be well, take good care of your heart.